Greetings to all of you. We bring greetings from Bern here. We're thankful to be here. Thankful for the opportunity to be here yesterday, the wedding. We enjoyed our time, and that was another refreshing time. Weddings, we enjoy weddings. Weddings is like a taste of spring to me, new life, sense of new life. Amen? New home being begun. So it's a joy. It's a joy to be here. We want to have prayer here before we begin, but I was tremendously blessed here already with the thoughts that come. Breaking the bread of life, looking beyond the sacred page. You know, there's one thing to read the Word of God, be fed by it, that's one thing, but to realize its author. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
We go beyond the written Word and look in the face of God for our edification. So we trust that as God's presence is here, we can do that. As we hear His Word being read, that we can realize this morning that these aren't just vain words. These aren't just empty words. These are words that come from a life-giving God. I think of the Lord's Prayer there. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing those words to us. My thoughts went to Luke 11, verse 1. The disciples there for the Lord. That's the same context. So the disciples came before the Lord and said, Lord, teach us. They didn't ask the Lord, teach us how to pray or what to pray. I pondered those thoughts. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So it made me think of that little children's lyric that goes somewhat like this here. Lord, I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? So we can be saying words, but, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen? So I was, very richly fed this morning. The children's lesson. Bless you, Brother Jacob. You were sharing with not only the young children, your children with older children too. Bless you. Yeah, we can take those things. We can take those little children concept. And recently I was introduced to a different gap theory. Maybe you older ones understand what I'm saying when I say the gap theory. But that's not what I'm talking about. So the punch you in the face analogy comes. And you can take this various ways, and you know, you can punch somebody in the face with words, right? We can do that, you know, with that attitude. So someone does that to you, then what's your response? Or someone wrongs you, and so there's a gap between the punch and the response. So in that gap, we have the potential, the ability to rely and display the power of God. Right, children? So when somebody hits you, you have an opportunity to either hit them back, or, you know what, just allow God to work in my heart and rest and have that response to be God-ordained. And so we have that. We don't hold a grudge. We don't allow bitterness to set in. Lord says vengeance is His, so we'll leave it there. I know we stood a few times to the service, but can we rise again for a word of prayer? I'm sorry. Thankfully, it's just water. Okay. Father, we're here before You this morning. Thank You for these Dear brothers, congregation here that we stand before, oh God, help us to seek You together here. We bow our hearts before You in humble adoration and thanksgiving. Glory be to Your name, oh God. We seek You, we ask You, Lord, that You would visit us again one more time here in this next few moments. You have placed a few things on our hearts to share, and pray that You would bring the increase, oh God. break the bread of life to us this morning, as we've heard already, that songwriter that wrote, break the bread of life, O God, that we might be fed. O Lord, that the crumbs that come, O Lord, may you bring the increase. May you multiply, O Father. May you multiply these things that are on our hearts and wing them to the depths of our being, and have our lives to be changed in accordance to it. Father, we want you. We want to allow you to do a work, a deep work in our hearts. And Father, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, visit each soul here this morning. Walk down the aisles, O Lord. Minister to us. Minister to the needs of our hearts, O Lord. We ask you, we invite you, O God. Be the King of this service here this morning. Father, we bless your name. We look to you. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help truly is from you, Lord. And we invite you, O God, to come and minister to us this morning through your word, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I must say we feel indebted to many of you brothers that have come and blessed us in Bern. So we, in our feeble efforts, we want to return the blessing. So not that we have anything to give to you, but the Word of God does. And so we look in it, right? So this morning we have, as an introduction, just recently I was reading, and that's been a few weeks ago, reading in Colossians about the hope. The Bible teaches much about hope. And we're not like those that are without hope, right? We have hope. And he uses it a lot in his writings, Paul does, this hope. And this stood out to me again, how often the use of hope is in the Holy Scriptures. So that got me looking again at the different uses of the word hope. So we have quite a few scriptures that we want to read here, using the word hope, and there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for doing that. There's a tremendous hope in the Word of God that we can receive. The word hope and how it manifests or should manifest in our lives. Also, with this comes, recently we made our way through Leviticus, we're in Numbers now. But as I think of the word hope, and then in relating that to Leviticus, with all the details, with all the sacrificing, those offerings, with all those things there, and the details of, it seems like, you know, all those details could bring the life out of, bring them into maybe a hopeless situation, I don't know. But all these sacrifices and how and when and what, it could have been a bit overwhelming. But in Jesus Christ, we have once and forever, the eternal sacrifice, our peace offering, that we can have the remission, the forgiveness of our sins. This displays truly the eternal mercy of God. It is His mercy that we are not consumed. We have that in Lamentations. This displays the desperate situation here, Lamentations, that the Israelites were in. And it speaks to their condition. It truly was the Lord's mercy in that situation that the Israelites were not consumed, literally, if you read the account. So in the Psalms, we will be reading multiple verses about about hope. And the one we want to begin with is in Psalm 147, verse 11. You might not be able to keep up with me. I have my verses here before me, so I'll probably just continue through them. I'll probably not wait on you to find all those verses. If you want to, you can write them down, but we'll try to keep this moving here. So 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. So the Lord takes pleasure and those that hope in His mercy. So what is hope? Maybe we should define a little bit of hope here. Hope in the Old Testament defines it as a patient waiting or a trust. It's used in various ways, but the bottom line is very much the same. So it's a patient waiting. There's a trust. There's an expectation. It's not an empty hope. It's a confiding in or making refuge trust. Again, it's in one way it's used. It's literally a cord, like a rope. It's attached to an expectation, this hope. So it's something that's alive. It's a hope that you know. I don't know how many of you are from our background when we use the word huffing in Bible definition wasn't. What was more of a wishful thinking than what the Bible really teaches about the word hope. Hope is living. It's not a dead hope. It's something that's alive. And something that's alive always brings a reproduction, right? Something that's living grows, right? So this hope, this is what we're talking about when we talk about the word hope that's in Scripture. We have people that believe in hope that is not expecting at all. And that is not the hope that the Bible talks about. It's not wishful thinking. In the New Testament, we have one main Greek word. It is to anticipate expectation or confidence. It's a totally different picture there. Hope, it's a beautiful, life-filled word. And I want us to realize this. When we think of the word hope, when we use the word hope, that it's not an empty thing. It's a life-filled, Bible, God-ordained word. We want to read some verses here with the word hope in it and maybe make some comments here and there. So we'll just make our way through. Psalms has quite a few. We want to make our way through a few of them here. So Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Good courage, it strengthens our hearts. Lord, makes us strong that way, if we have hope in Him. Ye that hope in the Lord. There's all caps there. Jehovah. 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, and upon them that hope in His mercy." Here we have it again. David had a concept of the hope that was to be placed upon the Lord. Psalm 33:22, "Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." Our hope should be set upon the God. 38:15, Psalm, "For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." 39:7, Now the Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. There's hope that is established throughout. It's where our hope must lie. And notice the promise and the blessings. As we go through these things, notice the promises and the blessings to those that have their hope on God. There's often, as we think of the hope, the attachment, that cord, there's an expectation or they're attached to that. 42:5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." 42:11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Why are you depressed? Why are you bending low? See the response when there's hope? There's praise. There's praise that comes from hope. Praise for His help. Praise for His health or for my health. 71:5. "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 71:14. "But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more." Psalm 119:114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. So the word God, there's hope that comes from that. Also, there's a hiding place. There's a shield there. There's protection. There's trust in the word of God. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. And 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's a happy, there's blessed, blessings there. And again, the verse 147, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure. You think of God taking pleasure in you. That's a high word. When God having pleasure in us, those that fear Him, and in those that hope in His mercy. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the exultation of the wicked shall perish. And we have Jeremiah 17:7. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Those are all in the Old Testament. We could have went to Job. We could have went to different places there. But those are the few things that I drew out. Now I want to look at the New for some verses, New Testament. Please bear with me. There's a reason for reading these verses. They are not lifeless. They are not just verses. They are the Word of God. And the Word of God always breathes life. So as we go through and ponder these truths, may the realities of the possibilities sink into our mortal flesh. Our hope must be directed wholly and fully to God. We're reading from the life-giving Word, and if these truths are not reality in our lives, be it known to us, they can be. And if this isn't real for you, pursue it until it is. God wants us to have it. I can't imagine living life without hope and without God in this world. There's a good chance that this morning, after taking consideration of our lives, that we find ourselves pursuing things of this world and not God. Pursuing worldly riches. Pursuing fame. Pursuing the American dream. Just pursuing. Pursuing what? The Bible teaches us what to pursue. It says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay, so we have some New Testament verses that we want to look at. So many beautiful things that I didn't know which ones to use. You need to find yourself grasping. Okay, which ones do you read? Which ones do we draw out? And so you may be sitting there thinking of all those hope verses that may not even be read this morning. Acts 23:6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and that the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. So in Paul's life, that was one reason, it says in another place, that's why he was brought into trial, was because of the hope of the resurrection. That was a foundational stone in Paul's life. That was the motivating factor of his entire being, because he had hope in the resurrection. The things of God were true, and they were founded in his life. And that's why Paul did what he did, because of that hope that was in him. It demanded a response. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 8:24-25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 15:13. Here's filled with joy and peace and believing, abounding in hope. Now the God of hope, God is a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power be of God and not of us. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Makes me think of a farmer. He ploweth, he planteth, he expecteth. He expecteth a harvest. You know, farmers usually don't go out there in the spring and plant crops just for the fun of it. They are expecting a harvest. They do it with expectation that there's going to be something to harvest at harvest time. They expect fruit. They don't go out there with a, you know, I don't care if I get anything or not, I'm just having fun planting seed. No, they expect a harvest. They expect a return. So we know the meaning of hope. If we are to receive anything, there usually has to be an input. There has to be an effort. We can't just slide through life and expect all the goodness, you know. There has to be some input. There has to be some right choices made for there to be a return, a good return. We have a few more scriptures here. We'll make our way through them. Bear with me. Don't go to sleep on me here with the droning of my voice. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide a faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So there's a much value placed on hope there. 1 Corinthians 15:19, and in this life only we have hope, if in this life we have just hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Some beautiful things there. In chapter 15 about the resurrection too. That's the chapter that has the most about the resurrection in one chapter. Read it. You'll be inspired. As we consider the resurrection. It's where Paul's hope lied. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. That hope, if it is in us, will create a boldness of speaking. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or by death. You know, this whole shame thing. Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And sometimes I think we're a bit ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When we go out and meet people, we'd like to talk to them, but we're a little timid. We're a little bit ashamed of the gospel. We're maybe a little bit ashamed of associating with Jesus Christ. I mean, we don't want to be such fanatics, do we? I mean, we're going to be looked down upon, and I don't know what all goes through our minds, but I think we're a little bit ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for therein is the power of God. We must believe that. There's a purpose, boldness. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery
among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. This is a cheerful continuance in our Lord. We think that patiently enduring what's here in this life. There's many beautiful things, but there's also challenges. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Titus 1:2, here's a beautiful one. In hope of eternal life. You know, it's not just for this life. This hope isn't just for this life. It doesn't stop at this life. There's hope beyond the grave. Amen? In hope of eternal life, which God, it's one thing God cannot do, He cannot lie. Which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. There's hope of eternal life. God promised that before the world began. It was before you and I ever existed that God's promise went out of eternal life. And we can only find that if we abide in Him. Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There it is again. Hebrews 6:18-19, that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hope is an anchor for the soul. You set that thing down to be held in place. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh to God. It's called a better hope. Another place it's called a blessed hope. I think in Peter. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. There's the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's many things that people have disputed or try to dispute about Jesus Christ, about His birth. There's a lot of babies being born. About his life, he had lead a good life. Well, you say, well, there's a lot of people that lived a good life. About his crucifixion, people were being crucified at that time. You know, the sinners, the bad people, so to speak. But when it comes to the resurrection, the scientists, the people of high degree have a hard time disputing the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a foundation there that I don't know that you and I fully realize about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of God was revealed to such an extent that is beyond our comprehension. But we believe. 1 Peter 1:21, who by Him do believe in God and raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 Peter 3:15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Hope that lieth within our hearts. John 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The hope in Jesus Christ demands a response from us. And in this way, he that has this hope, every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So many beautiful truths on hope. We can trust in his word. We can have an eternal expectation in this life of all who God is and does for the eternal life after death. Doesn't that give us tremendous assurance in the word of God? Promises are to his children who walk after, who follow after, and endeavor to do his will in this life. God's heart is turned towards those that fear him and keep his commandments. He is their help and stay. Now let us turn to Colossians. This is where this came from, as I referenced earlier. Colossians chapter 1. For this last portion of this message, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read from verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up in heaven, whereof you heard before, and the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, so it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the love of his Son, or his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice again the hope in verse 5. For the hope in what? In the gospel. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven,
whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come to you, as it is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit. This hope in the gospel does bring forth fruit. It brought it into you as it in all the world. This came unto you. But in your lives it brought forth fruit. Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. This eternal hope, settled in the heart and life, will display true godly fruit. The evidences of one's life will display one's pursuit in life. Sometimes these are quite obvious. And will also display where our true hope lies. Not only do we have wonderful privileges and opportunities in this life of love and faith, relationships, but it doesn't end there. It goes beyond the grave, as we stated earlier. We have this hope. It can do many things. In all the verses that we read previously, brethren, we have something to give. We have something to say. In Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It has been freely given to us. What are we going to do with this freely given to us thing that God values so much? We need not be ashamed of the hope that lies within us. Actually, the contrary. We are to have boldness. In speech, in the things of God. Fruit-filled lives. If this hope truly lies within us, there's going to be a hope. There's going to be an instant of, when somebody asks you, of the hope that lies within you. What is it? Fruit-filled lives. If this hope truly lies within, there's going to be fruit. Webster's states it this way, basically. And whatever the earth produces for the nourishment of animals or clothing or profit. There's fruit of the field. There's fruit of our labors. There's fruit of our lives. Usually an increase of the same. Whatever's coming in produces the same. Fruit speaks of increase of the thing planted. There is usually a reproduction, multiplication that takes place in the whole realm of fruit. It has a sense of preservation in it because it continues itself. It continues reproducing itself. A seed corn. You plant it in the ground, produces more corn. Soybean, likewise. It produces more of the same. If a thing cannot be reproduced, then automatically the thing is dying out. We can take this analogy to many different things in our spiritual lives. If the thing cannot be reproduced, then automatically it's dying out. So what are we producing? What are we transplanting? What are we giving to our children? Is faith perpetual in our homes? How many years of planting corn without production, without reproducing, how many years would it take before this whole thing would, before we would have no more corn? We all know that it probably wouldn't last just awfully long. We wouldn't have no more corn. We are sowers. We here in this room, we're all sowers. We're planting something. Every day we are planting some kind of seed. By the fruit that is coming out of our lives, that is what we're planting. The question comes to us, can we bear the harvest? Can we afford the harvest that's coming from our lives? Harvest time is usually an increase, 30, 60, 100 fold. It can be in a negative light or a positive. Example. If there is a teaching of godliness and Bible principle, the increase can be beautiful. We all know that. We also know the contrary. If we are passing on, thinking of us as fathers maybe, if we're passing on bitterness and love for money, brethren, we won't be able to afford the harvest. Fruit, good fruit. Galatians 5, 22, verse 23 type of fruit. Godly character type of fruit. That's what we're talking about. We heard of this fruit that is coming from this hope that lies within us. And so Paul's writing there to the Colossians. The gospel went forth, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you since the day you heard of it. We're ever praying for you now that this would only continue. Paul's company heard through Epaphras, that this hope in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is displaying itself in you all. And I would say that here, Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship, that the hope in the gospel displays itself and is working itself out here in Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship. Praise the Lord. We see it. God bless you. Fruit. We're talking about good fruit, sweet fruit. And this fruit is a result of our hope in God, our hope in the gospel, in the resurrection, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will have a character. And I'm not talking about the clothes we wear, although it's an important part of us. But true character speaks of who we are inside. It will not lie or say anything, any untruth. The fruit of godliness will embrace everything of God, no matter what everyone else is doing. Our excuses will probably not hold any water in the day of judgment. We can lie or hide things from man. We can justify ourselves before man. But we know that we're fully exposed before God. It's all open. There's nothing hidden. Our hearts are just laid out before God. And yet, man continues to try to hide things, try to make himself look good. And we want to appear good before our brothers, and we want to look all nice and shiny. But before God, everything is exposed. There, all things are manifest. Everything is out in the open. And we try to convince others, ourselves and others, that we're doing pretty good, but there's a day coming when all things will be naked before Him to whom we have to do. This hope that we read about throughout Scripture, if it is real in our lives, will bring forth fruit, eternal fruit, everlasting fruit. Beautiful fruit. Fruit that God enjoys. This hope will show forth. This hope will display itself in our lives. This hope will reveal itself in many ways as we read. Even a lot of these verses which we read about. There will be courage. There will be joy. We will be humbled because of all His mercy. There will be fear of God in place. There will be a praise coming forth from our hearts and lives. We'll be keeping His commandments. We'll find in God a protection, a hiding place, and my shield. We will enjoy the Word of God. Receive it with much gladness. Blessed, happy we will be if we have hope. These are the fruits that are coming out of our lives. We trust in God and have hope in Him. We'll be rejoicing. We'll have the power of patience. patience and tribulations. We'll be continuing in prayer. We'll find our comfort in scriptures. Again, joy and peace will be there. There'll be a boldness in speech. In nothing will I be ashamed. We realize the justified will be justified by His grace. We'll realize and understand that there's an anchor for the soul that is both sure and steadfast. Again, mercy will be revealed to us. And we'll see it being renewed day by day. We'll have the power of meekness. We'll have much faith. And he that hath this hope will purify himself. We'll see that. We'll see a desire. We'll see an open heart desiring to be open and honest before your brethren and said, you know what? I need you, brethren. I want to walk with you. You show me in my life where I'm not walking in consecration to the Holy Scriptures. We'll want that. We'll invite that. We'll receive it with gladness. Whoever has this hope purifies himself. How do you purify yourself? You get out everything in your life that is not for God. May we be encouraged to go on to the Lord. He is worthy of our lives. He wants fruit, and He set His eternal hope before us. We expect to receive, we hold to, and live out the true promises of God. We can have faith and believe that He who stated these things will surely bring them to pass, and in their rest. A hope that bringeth and continues to bring forth fruit. May our lives be such. So what is the Christian's hope? What is it? It is sure and steadfast. It is an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19. It is a good. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. It's an everlasting consolation. It is lively. It's living. It's a living hope, contrary to false hope. You know, think above the Israelites, God took them to exile. And I can imagine the hopeless situation that they were probably finding themselves in. And my understanding is, and up towards the North Pole, there's a land of the midnight sun, but there's also the opposite. There's much darkness in certain times of the year, and where the suicide rate skyrockets during that time, is my understanding. So depression sets in, kind of a hopeless situation. People on depressants and pills too, because their situation looks bleak and hopeless. Brethren, this ought not to be in the household of faith. Amen? Amen? We are not those that have no hope. We're not like that. We don't sorrow. Is there sorrow in our lives? Yeah, there's sometimes sorrow. But we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. There's hope. There's full assurance. There's a better hope. Hebrews 7. Blessed hope. Titus 2. Faith in God, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. How is it obtained? Through the grace of God. 2 Thessalonians and 1 Peter. Our hope is strengthened through Christian experience. And experience bringeth hope. Romans 5. Job 19 says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do we know that our Redeemer liveth here this morning? Our Redeemer liveth. Sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Our hope is obtained, it is perfected by knowledge of God's Word. I hope in Thy Word. We read some of those verses. Romans 15:4, Scriptures, we might have hope.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What does it do? What does this hope do in our lives? It helps in overcoming difficulties. It helps to be an overcomer, period. The hope in the Lord Jesus gives us power and strength to live and to lead overcoming lives. It encourages boldness. 2 Corinthians and Romans 1. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Spurs us to greater efforts. Again, that picture of what motivates the farmer. Hope of harvest. These are some of the things it does. A Christian's hope. It brings forth fruit in our lives. Hope for eternal life is comparable to no hardships here. You may say, you don't understand, brother. My life holds a lot of disappointments. It holds a lot of hardships. You might not understand the hope. You might not understand the life of God. For eternal life, hope for eternal life is comparable to no hardships here. So we can go through these things. We can go through those difficulties with life abiding, with that deep settledness, for that anchor that is sure and steadfast, that no other people group in the entirety of the world has than the Christian's hope. It promotes patience. It brings joy and gladness as we think of the promises. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, says there in 1 Peter. Rejoicing and believing. It promotes patience, enduring for the time, enduring for a time, then glory. This is only but for a moment. Just think of this present evil world. This is only for a moment. And then it'll be glory for us. What did the songwriter write? Then it'll be glory. Then it'll be glory. Patience. If we hope for that we see not. You know, when people grow impatient, they've lost a little bit of sight of the hope. And that's often where we grow impatient. Hope is waning. We have that in Peter also. You know, where is the promise of His coming? There's no more hope. Yeah, you say He's coming. Where's the promise of His coming? He's still not here. Guard against doubt. Guard against those things. People grow impatient when hope wanes. It is an incentive to pure, noble life. John, we read these verses. The response. It causes us to want to live pure and holy lives. Be pure as I am pure. Be holy as I am holy, God says. So it's a calling us to a higher plateau, as has been stated earlier this morning. I want to close in just read a scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but even follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. These are more responses that should come when the hope that lies within us bleeds itself out in our lives. And the very God of peace, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's richest blessings to you all.